and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and today I'm so excited to have a guest for you all the way from the East Coast. Her name is Jodi Chaffee, and she has her own podcast all about family culture, and I'm so excited to welcome her to the show today and find out all about her and her podcast. Please help me welcome Jodi. Hey, Jodi.
Hey, Monica. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm so excited. So would you start by telling my listeners a little bit about yourself and about your family?
Sure. I'm a mom of four, and my husband and I have been married almost 13 years, and we both grew up around the same area in Southeast Michigan. And so we met at church, and shortly after we got married, we moved out to Provo, Utah to go to school, and then we started our family when we moved to Virginia a couple years later. So we homeschool our four kids and been homeschooling from the beginning. And so that's something that has always been my priority, something I've always wanted to do. And my husband is cool because he's on board with it. He pretty much is on board with anything that I am like, okay, I suggest random things. He's like, okay, I'm on board. And so it's really awesome. We're best of friends. And so yeah, we've been living around the Richmond, Virginia area for a couple of years. And I started my podcast almost 3 years ago. And I started just because I was really curious about what makes a successful family. And I wanted to know. And like in the homeschool community, it's kind of like there are these influencers who are always talking about like different techniques and methods to be successful at homeschooling. But it was just kind of like, okay, but how do I be successful overall? You know, like, how do I know that these families that you see coming to church that seem all put together actually are successful when, you know, I've seen families who seem that way. And then a couple years later, they announce they're getting divorced or, you know, they're falling apart or their kids are, who knows, you know? And so I'm just like, okay, I really want to know what really makes a successful family. And I was also around that time watching the Olympics. And it was just like, those kids have something that started from when they were little, that they were inspired to do something this ambitious, you know, and it's something that I'm like, that doesn't just happen. That doesn't just like, that's not just somebody, some kid that decides, oh, I'm going to become an Olympian. You know, there's somebody that maybe is influencing them or somehow they became so goal oriented to do something that ambitious. And so that was another thing that inspired me to start my podcast, to ask these questions and to just try and figure out, you know, what really makes a successful family? How can I inspire my kids to grow up to be like, I don't know, whatever success looks like to them, you know? And so that's what inspired me to find, just reach out to people and start asking these kinds of questions, because what I felt like it came down to was their family culture, you know, and it's like the feeling that's in their home or, you know, the goals and the vision that they have for their family and the standards and the like values that they have. And so that's kind of what I've started to discover and uncover over these last 3 years of talking to people and reading books. And yeah, I read all kinds of like parenting and nonfiction and self-help or, but you know, and like business books, you know, a lot of times I'll read a business book and look at it from the perspective of raising a family, because I think that a lot of the principles really do apply. And so that's what I do. It's kind of overwhelming, but anyway, so that's a little bit about me. And so that's what I do. I homeschool, my husband and I are starting a business, and we're working on just growing this, trying to develop our family culture to be a thriving environment for our family.
Well, I love that. I love that. So you invite on guests that you feel like have a good family culture. So that's incredible. That's so cool. So you use the word family culture a lot. Tell me, what is family culture?
So family culture is like, you know, I've heard it described as like a garden that you cultivate it and you know, you nourish the soil and the seeds and what you put into it is what you get out of it type of a thing. And, you know, family culture is really that overall feeling that you have in your family that encompasses your values and your vision and your traditions and your norms, the things that you default to. And it's your relationships. It's your stories that you tell in your family. And it's also, you know, where you come from. And so it has a lot to do with, you know, your ancestors and things like that and the things that you're used to. But it really comes back to, I've also heard it described as like your family brand. You know, it's like you go into a store or you say, oh, when you think of this store or this restaurant, what comes to mind? And we all know what comes to mind, you know, or a particular brand and things like that. And that's kind of like what a family culture is, that when people come into our home, what are they going to find there? What are they expect? What is the feeling? What are the expectations? What are the, you know, the rules and what are the roles that each of us play in the family? And so it encompasses all of those things. And it involves, you know, like the different traditions and rules and communication the way that you establish those things with your family, because a lot of times these things don't just happen. You know, a lot of the things that I've studied and learned is that you do have to be intentional, because every family has a culture, whether it's by default or by design. And so a lot of times we just go with the flow of whatever our default is, because it's what our parents have always done, or it's just how we grew up, or that's just the way it's always been. And like, I like telling the story of, you know, my kids and I were reading The Secret Garden. I don't know if you ever read that book, but you know, there's this part where, you know, Mary, she grows up in India where she has an ayah that dresses her and stuff like that. And she's like, if she ever asked a question, her ayah would always say, well, it's just the custom. It's just the custom. So they never even really had an answer for why they did certain things. They'd say, well, it's just the custom. And so part of what I'm trying to explore is saying, okay, but why? Why do we do things as a family? And is it really serving our family? You know, like if we're doing something and we're going, well, it's just the custom, but it's not serving our family anymore, then it's like, well, maybe we should reevaluate mm-hmm. and figure out what does work and what will serve our family.
I love that. So in the 3 years you've been doing this, I assume you've had a ton of guests. Who have been some of the ones that stand out to you, and what have they taught you about family culture?
That's a good question, because there's so many people that I just admire. I think one that really stands out is, so I mentioned that the Olympics were a big influence for me. And so one of the first people that I wanted to interview was a friend of mine that I actually grew up with, and he plays wheelchair basketball. And he's actually a medalist in the Paralympics. And so I got him on the show. And, you know, it's funny that I grew up with him, but I didn't know anything about how he was raised or how he grew this ambition to be an Olympian, because I knew him before he was in a car accident that put him in a wheelchair, and he had wanted to play baseball. And when, after his accident, he was really depressed about it. But he met people who were playing basketball, who were playing in wheelchairs. And so he got really excited, really interested in that. But he's still just a normal kid. And so he would go about his life just, you know, he'd come home and play video games or whatever. But his dad would sit down with him and go, son, I think you told me, you mentioned that you'd like to play basketball. So where do you see yourself in, you know, 20 years? And so he's like, well, and so he like, you know, mapped out like, oh, I want to have a good job. I want to have played basketball. I want to have a family and, you know, all this stuff. And so he goes, okay, so where should you be in maybe 10 years to get you to that point? And he listed out, oh, I should be doing this and this. And back to the point where he goes, okay, well, here we are today. What can you do today that is going to get you to that place where you want to be in 20 years? He goes, well, I should practice my hoops, you know? And so he's like, all right, son, let's go. And so he get him up and he's like, okay, you got to have that vision and then do things today that help you work towards that vision. And then he's like, okay, you mentioned you want to have a family. So what are you going to do to treat your mom and your sister in a good way today to prepare you for your family? And you said you wanted to have a good job. What are you going to do today to do well in school? And so he, you know, so that interview was so interesting, that idea of the vision and the way that his dad was able to just talk him through that vision, even as a teenager who just has like normal teenage desires to just play with his friends and play video games or whatever, you know, to talk through the idea of having a vision. Man, there have been so many that I just, another one was Ann Visser, and she and I talked about how family culture is like a vehicle, and that it's like you need to have a destination. That's, you know, an idea of where you're going, and then a roadmap or some kind of GPS of how to get there. And you need to be able to maintain that vehicle. You know, it's just like if it were a car, you'd want to stop and fuel it up or maintain the gears and the parts. And I don't even know anything about cars, but you know, you want to replace the tires and, you know, and sometimes you might take some scenic sidetracks or things like that. And that's okay if that's part of your plan. Or, you know, or you might be the type of family that's like, no, we're going to go from point A to point B. But whatever it is that you decide, that's your family culture. Like, I think some families thrive in more of a spontaneous environment. And it's like, well, that's fine as long as that's your plan. You know what I mean? If you're going day to day going, oh my gosh, all this chaos, I don't know if I can understand it. But then that's how you actually thrive, then that works for you. But if you're a family that likes to be more structured, more planned, then that's your family culture too. And so that's another thing about it that helped me to really understand family culture really well, is this idea of it being a vehicle, and that everybody has a different vehicle that serves them and a different way to look. And so when I talk about family culture, I coming from my own perspective, but at the same time, I want to help people to be like, what is our family culture? You know, what is it that serves our family? And every family is going to be different. Just a couple off the top of my head.
Yeah, I love that, especially the vehicle, because there are so many different makes and models of vehicles. And I know for us, we're a long, long time, we were a minivan family, and then we grew up a little bit, and now we have an SUV. And so that the vehicle can change a little bit.
Yes.
We reassessed our needs and decided that we would be fine with an SUV. So that is a really interesting way of looking at that. I like that analogy a lot. So how has your own family culture evolved through the process of discovering this idea of family culture?
So I started out discovering family culture before I got married. I was a missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I went to Hawaii, and there's a lot of cultural diversity there, and I loved it. But so as a missionary, a lot of times we go into families' homes for meals and things like that. And a lot of the time that I was there, I served at Brigham Young University, Hawaii. And so there's a lot of new young couples there. And so I had a meal there with this couple. And as soon as we walked into the house, into their little apartment, they were fighting and bickering. And it was just like, okay, what's going on here? And it was clear that the conflict was actually because they were from two different countries and they were bickering about like their differences. And they were not really getting along. And so I asked one of there's a senior missionaries there. So an older gentleman was there and he was in an intercultural marriage for 40 years or something. And I was like, how do you make this work? And he said, you forget about where you come from and you adopt the church culture as your family culture. So I thought that was really interesting because what I understood was that the church culture is, you know, there's a lot in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is like structured. There's a lot of initiative and doctrines and things that support the family. And so I was like, okay, so as a couple, you come together to agree on your standards. Okay. That makes sense. I can wrap my head around that. Like, even if you're not a member of the church, you come together, you agree on your values. All right, I can get that. Well, so when my husband and I got married, it was like, all right, we're good. Like, because we grew up in the same area. We have like the same, we had a lot in common and we were good friends. And I think we sat down to talk about our values that we were like, yeah, we have the same background. We have the same beliefs. And so we had that as a foundation for our family. But then soon after we got married, we were going to college and we were both like, okay, I don't know what to study. And we changed our majors a couple of times. And by the time we were done with college, even during when my husband was in grad school, he didn't have a job and he couldn't find a job. Like, it was during the recession. And so we didn't really have a plan. We didn't know what to do. And so we just kind of went with whatever came along and just went with the flow of who knows what, you know. And we didn't have, what I'm learning now is that we didn't have a vision. And so as our family has grown, I've learned that you need to have it's important to have your values. It's important to come together and agree on your collective values, but you also need to come together and agree on your collective vision. You know, what is the direction that you're going towards? What do you want your family not just to look like today, but how you want to look in 20 years from now as a family? When you're sitting down to Christmas dinner or Thanksgiving and it's like, are you all sitting down together, or is there somebody that doesn't want to show up because they don't like you or something? Or, you know, or is everybody at the table bickering, or are we all at the table getting along and be able to talk about, you know, and be open and vulnerable and loving? So it's like I was talking about with my friend who's the Olympian, his name is Paul Schulte. And he told me, you know, about having that vision of the future, what you could do today. And that's what families need also. And so now my husband and I are able to sit down and we're talking about more about our vision, and it's really helping us to work through some of the hurdles that we're coming up against, you know, going like, okay, this is really hard, but we have this vision of what we want in the future. And so we're going to be really patient with, you know, if our kids are acting out, it's like, well, they're not going to act out forever. And if we're loving to them today, then they're going to have a better relationship in the future. So that's definitely how, and some of that has been indirect from not just talking to people from my podcast, but also as I've just been studying on my own, because as I've been learning these things, I've been trying to apply them to my family. And I'm going, okay, do we have a vision? You know, do we have these things? And going, are we being intentional? I don't know that we are being as intentional as I'd like to be. There's a lot of stress and there's a lot of, you know, impulsiveness and, you know, being reactive. And so it's like, that's part of this journey for me has been like, all right, let's try to be more proactive and less reactive. Let's try to be more faith-based and less fear-based. You know, let's work on being more intentional and less relying on our defaults and whatever the custom is, you know? And yeah. So that's definitely been part of the evolution.
Awesome.
That was a little long-winded, but.
That's okay. That's awesome. So what are some ways that families can design their own family culture? So let's say this is the first I've ever heard of this concept and I'm like, oh, I want to design my own family culture. What are some ways that you suggest that it can start?
I think it starts by coming together to sit down and discuss these things. You know, I think having a family
husband and wife first, or bring the whole family together?
I would say husband and wife first. Yeah. I mean, if you come together, you kind of decide what your values are, what your roles are, you know, and then whatever it is you're struggling with, maybe kind of be like, well, what are we doing? Why isn't this serving us? And just kind of talk through some of the things that you want, you know, maybe not so much focusing on what's not working or what you don't want, but really the direction you want to go in. Because I think that that's really, when you have something that's compelling you forward, then the other things kind of, they do, I think, start to resolve. And so, yeah, it's coming together to decide and talk about what is our vision for the future? What are the traditions that we have that are serving us? And what are things that maybe we do just because it's always been that way or something? And so having family meetings, regular family council, we call executive council with it when it's just the two of us and, you know, talking about, I think at first it's a lot of just, okay, what are we going to do this week to survive? Or, you know, what are we going to do right now to figure out what works for us? And then as you go along regularly talking about this stuff, things will arise that you go, okay, I think that this is something that we can look into to adjust and be more intentional about it. But definitely evaluating what your vision is, what the feeling you want to have in your family, and then going from there, and maybe even sitting down to write down, you know, what is our family brand? What does our family stand for? What do we represent to people, or what do we represent to ourselves when we come home, we come into the family? Do we feel like it's safe? Do we feel like we have integrity? Do we feel like, or not, you know? And so being able to sit down and honestly talk about what is the feeling that's in our home, and then what do we want it to look like?
Gotcha. So here's a question for you. What gave you the courage? So you're a mom of four, and you had this sort of interest in family culture. So what gave you the courage and confidence to start a podcast? Like, what, so many years ago when podcasts were so new, I'm sure it wasn't as easy as it is now to just pick up and start a podcast. So I'm wondering what gave you the confidence to just go for it?
I was compelled by the need to save my family. I felt like it was an inspiration. I honestly, like, when I came up with the idea, I was inspired. I had all these lists and ideas and all these things that just started coming to me. But normally I'm the type of person that I actually have to like overanalyze things before I actually do them. So, but I had just read this book and it's called The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success. It's a Deepak Chopra book. And one of the laws is letting go of the outcome. Because if you hold on to a certain outcome, then you either become afraid of failure or you actually become even afraid of success. And it's like, what if this works? What if people listen to me? Oh, you know, it's like, it's almost a lot of pressure. Even, you know, success can feel like a lot of pressure just as much as the fear of failure can be a lot of pressure. And so I just decided that I was going to let go of the outcome and whatever happens, happens. And, you know, and just knowing that I felt like I was inspired. I felt like Heavenly Father was trying to tell me like what I could do to help my family. Because like I mentioned, my husband had struggled finding jobs and we've gone through a lot of like financial struggles in our family. And it was like, okay, but how is this going to help my family? You know? I mean, I liked listening to podcasts and I listened to this one episode somewhere that this woman had started a podcast and she was making such an impact on her audience that she had grown it into like a $1 million company or something.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, I don't know how to do that, but maybe if my message is inspiring enough and there's value here, that it's something that I can figure out how to grow it too. And I haven't gotten to that point yet. And I still don't know how exactly, but that's really what has compelled me over this time, because it's not easy. Running a podcast is really challenging. It's challenging to like get in front of this microphone and talk to people that I don't know and carry a conversation. But, you know, every time I get in front of the, I had an interview scheduled and it's somebody that sometimes it was people that I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe, like my mind is exploding that this person even said yes. And so right up to the point where I get in front of that microphone, I'm like, oh, and I'm jittery and I'm scared. And then I get in front of the microphone and I have this amazing conversation and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so awesome. And I am so inspired and I learned so much and I can do this. You know? And then I go through the week editing and doing all that stuff. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do this. But you know, again, every time I get out and I talk about and I think about this topic, I just know that it's important. I just know that it's something that, one of the things that quote that I say on every episode right now is from Mother Teresa. She said that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And I just think that families have that power, that if we take the time to focus on our families and to strengthen our families, that the problems of the world, we'll find a resolution, because we're going to raise our children in a way that they can impact the world. They can do something with the love that they felt growing up, or the inclusion, or the, you know, the empowerment, you know, that if they feel empowered when in the home to know that they have worth, they have value, to then grow up and impact the world, that's incredibly powerful. And so that's something that has really inspired me along the way too, that I just want to get this message out to people, that if we can bring it home and say, what can I do to impact the world? Well, right here in my home, in my family. And that's something that's really powerful too, that I think a lot of parents feel like, well, I make my impact at the workplace, or, you know, whatever it is. And it's just like that impact or that influence leaves when you leave the workplace. That's the extent that it goes. But when you come home and you make an impact there, that grows up and it goes out into the world too.
Mm-hmm.
So even more than that, like, we do things now, like as families, to influence other families. And so it just spreads, and it's spreading to like empower families to be unified, to be strengthened. And that unity and that strength, it's immeasurable. It's priceless.
Yeah, I think you're so right. And so courageous to be doing a podcast like this, because people have lots of different opinions about what a family is. So I think this is such important information. And I had a very similar experience when I was starting my podcast. I felt very inspired. And I came and I let go of the outcome, because I came to the realization that even if my kids were the only ones that listened to me, that they would grow up knowing what I stood for and what was important to me, and that I had the courage to do something that seemed difficult, but I overcame it. And so I love that idea and that thought, and that your kids are getting to see you do something courageous and something that you believe in on their behalf, because, you know, they're learning, you're implementing what you're learning for their benefit. And so I just applaud you for that.
Thank you.
So what are you working on now that you're most excited about? Do you have any projects in the works? Are you working on monetizing the podcast? What are you working on?
Yeah. So my husband and I we're working on creating like a business around this whole idea of, so my brand is called Our Modern Heritage. So it's heritage, meaning like where we come from, but like modernizing, you know, it's like, what does it mean to us today in our families? And so I'd like to create a course around teaching, help people to learn how to do family culture. But leading up to it, I'm actually working on like a challenge course. It's something that I'm trying to create that's actually easily consumable. So it's like getting each day a new principle. And it's around resilience and our coping strategies. Because a lot of things that our families default to are our coping strategies. You know, it's like when we experience stress or grief or pain or all these different kinds of things, then it's like our lifestyle kind of revolves around how we cope with those things. And so each day is a different strategy of constructive coping, or ways to channel the stress or that energy in more constructive ways. So it's like a lot of times coping is really just about recovery and, you know, just being able to allow that level of stress to neutralize down to calm and peace. And whatever the amount of stress that you experience is also you need the complement amount of recovery. So it's like at night we sleep to recover from the day. But even throughout the day, we need recovery time. Like we need to take a break for lunch, or I have my kids home all day. So I'm like, sometimes we'll go through an hour of some kind of something with them. And I'm like, I need to recover. And I'll go lay on the bed, or I'll sing a song, or we'll go for a walk, or I'll have a snack, or, you know, different things that are helpful to recover. But also different ways to channel our stress is like through a creative outlet, or different ways to recover, talking to a friend, or, you know, because a social connection is so important. But a lot of times I think we miss that because we think we get it from social media, and it's not the same. And so that's what I'm working on, is this 30 days challenge of each day has like an easily consumable tip, or just to put in your back pocket, how I can cope with stress in a constructive way that doesn't involve resorting to something that can actually become addictive, you know? So it's because it's like a lot of times we cope by going, oh, I need a tub of ice cream, or, you know what I mean? And there's not, you know, I don't want to say that there's anything like wrong with that, because I have studied emotional eating, and I'm like, okay, sometimes you need emotional eating, okay? But most of the time we take it too far. And that's when addictive behaviors carry on, they become disordered behaviors. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I want to help people put things in their toolbox that are constructive so that we can recognize, okay, actually this addictive escape strategy for coping is becoming disordered. it's becoming addictive. And so how can I revert that to dump something that's more intentionally constructive? And so that's kind of a long-winded explanation of what I'm kind of working on. And I'm still in the process of finalizing it and things like that. But that's what I'm really excited about because it comes up all the time. It's something that comes up in like almost all the time when people are like, oh, I'm struggling, or I'm struggling with my faith, or I'm struggling with my kids. Or I'm like, well, do you give each other space to just feel what you're feeling? Yeah. And sometimes that's enough to cope with whatever's going on, is just give each other space to just feel it.
Yeah.
And recognize where it's coming from. Because a lot of these things have a trigger. And that's so much of our family culture, is what's triggering me and how am I reacting to it? And so that's what's creating the feeling. If my reaction is, oh, I'm triggered, so I'm going to shout at my kids, that's creating that feeling in your home. But if you see the trigger, oh my gosh, my kids drive me crazy. Oh, this is a stress. I need to know how to cope with this in a healthier way. I'm going to sit with this for a second and then figure out what I need to do. maybe I'm hungry, or maybe he's hungry, or maybe he just needs a hug or something. Maybe I need a hug, So there's just these different things in these little moments that actually define our family culture. And they come back to, how am I coping? How am I struggling, dealing with the stress that's coming into my, sometimes moment to moment throughout the day. And then in the bigger picture too, like, how am I recovering from the week? How am I recovering from that traumatic thing that happened last month? Things like that. Those all define who we are as a family and as individuals.
So. I love it. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. So where can my listeners find you? Are you on social media?
Yeah, I try to focus my efforts on Instagram. So I'm at Family Culture Podcast, and things go out from there. Like they go to Facebook and Twitter and things. But yeah, and my website is homeandfamilyculture.com.
Your website, homeandfamilyculture.com. Okay, yep. We'll link to that in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time. This has been really fun.
Thank you, Monica. I've had fun too.
We have been focusing on individually figuring out your passion and purpose and what it is that you should be doing and how to do it, that we haven't focused a lot on family in a while. So I loved this episode with Jody. I love her mission to study family culture and talk about it in a way that you can be intentional with what you're trying to do with your kids and with your home, because it is so important that your children know that they are loved and that they know how important family is. And so I have really appreciated this episode and trying to implement a lot of the things that Jody was talking about in our own family culture to try and be unified with my husband and intentional about the culture that we're creating in our home. So thank you, Jody, so much for being on the podcast today. And go ahead and jump over to her podcast, the Family Culture Podcast, to hear my interview with her. And as I discuss Just Do Some Good and the important part and role that service plays in family culture, and how we have tried to make that a very important and distinct part of our personal family culture. So make sure you join us next week. Our guest is Stephanie Gass, and she is so awesome. She is going to be talking about productivity and finding your God-led calling and all of the things that go together with that. She is just awesome. So until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.